This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 6:35 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn, Ayman and Kelvin. And we are going to be moving on to our next story, which is an interesting one, I think. It is the practice of buying expensive gifts for foreign dignitaries. We just want to try to understand whether this is an acceptable practice, really. And I think also to look at how it's conducted around the world. So this is coming after reports that former Prime Minister Datuk Sri Najib Razak told the High Court that his wife, Datin Sri Rosmah Mansor, bought a luxurious gift. And luxurious here, I think, is understating it. A luxurious gift for the wife of a former Qatar Prime Minister back in 2014.
So the gift in question is a piece of jewellery worth around 3.4 million ringgit, which was supposedly gifted to Nur Abdul Aziz Abdullah Turki Al-Subai, the spouse of Sheikh Ahmad Jassim Al-Thani. They bought this from a Swiss jeweller in Italy. And when asked if he had personally handed over the gift, Najib said it may have been given to the Qatari couple by a protocol officer, which he said was normal practice.
Now, I guess just to draw some comparisons, we have several other instances around the world where foreign leaders gave expensive gifts to each other. For example, the Palestinian leader Mahmoud Abbas once gave the US President Donald Trump a portrait of the president on mother-of-pearl panels framed in white floral foliate. China's President Xi Jinping also once gave North Korean leader Kim Jong-un 11 bottles of China's national liquor Moutai, which were estimated to be worth $190,000.
So, I mean, on the surface level, right, obviously it's meant as a token of flattery, I guess. I guess that's the most important thing, right? When you give a gift to a foreign leader, it's meant as a flattery. This is how we begin our meetings, our really important diplomatic discussions.
Sure.
Here's a friendly gift for you. Now let's discuss things that are beneficial for my country. So it's a sweetener for discussion. So, but I think a key question that concerns the people is how much public money is being spent to buy these gifts, because I think that is really important when it comes to what the people care about, and how, to what extent does it improve or benefit the people. So, because obviously these gifts aren't bought from the pockets of the leaders itself, it's bought from public funds. So if the public money is to be used to buy these gifts, the public want to know how will it benefit us in the long run. And in these kind of situations, you know, it can be difficult to sort of gauge or identify the actual effect of it.
To me, this is actually related in some ways to our conversation about the Vell fires, which when we spoke about it, we spoke about status, right? And how much we want our elected, our people in power to project a certain image, to be able to project a certain level of affluence or of class or whatever the word is that you want to use. And this is a part of that, right? The gift is, of course, a friendly gesture. It is also an implied notion of, well, this is how rich I am, or this is how powerful I am, or this is, and it sets the tone, supposedly, you would think, if you believe in this sort of thing, for the conversation that's to come, which is the point you were saying, Ayman. But I do wonder whether it needs to be quite this extravagant. Mm-hmm. Like, what is... I understand if you are giving something that is valuable from your country. So, for example, if South Korea were to give gifts of expensive ginseng, I get that. That's something...
BTS albums for...
of course. Soft power as well as traditional ingredients, sure. But, I mean, those are things that are part of their country's exports. It's part of what you think about when you think about what they provide to the world. In this case, jewelry that isn't even made here, you know, I just don't see the relationship outside of sheer excess, I suppose.
Yeah, and, you know, perhaps it should also reflect what a country, as you say, it should probably, the gift should probably reflect what a country is, right? And the gift being so expensive, it seems to show a level of luxury and opulence that we as a nation don't really put out to the world. If anything, if it was something more cultural, perhaps it might be more acceptable. But again, that price is just way too much. $1 million worth of gifts can easily be done with something else, can be given something else.
So we're going to be speaking after this with Professor James Chin, who is the director of the Asia Institute at the University of Tasmania. But of course, we would like to hear from you. I mean, what do you make of the practice of giving expensive gifts to foreign dignitaries?
And actually, if you were to give a gift to another country, what would you give from Malaysia?
Yes. What would you want to represent us? Imagine that you can spend up to 3.4 million ringgit, because apparently that's a thing. You can call us with 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
It's 6:50 in the evening, and we're talking today about the practice of buying expensive gifts for foreign dignitaries. This is coming after we've heard former Prime Minister Datuk Sri Najib Razak telling the High Court that his wife, Datin Sri Rosmamanso, bought a 3.4 million ringgit gift for the wife of a former Qatar Prime Minister back in 2014. I stress that this is what he said, but we are choosing to look at, I think, just the very notion. Why is this a common thing?
Yeah.
Why is the practice of giving gifts common? So we are going to be speaking now with Professor James Chin, Director of the Asia Institute at the University of Tasmania. James, it is always good to have you with us. Thanks for joining us.
Good evening.
So how far back does the act of diplomatic gift giving go? And, you know, why do we do it?
I think it goes back a very long way. If you remember in the old days, there were no such thing as sovereign states. You had individual kings running their own little empire. So when they visit each other, especially their allies or they're related to each other, they tend to bring a lot of gifts along. The difference between gifts given today and, say, giving gifts in the old days was that in the old days, the gifts were usually meant to create alliances. So that includes things like giving one of your daughters to marry one of the princes of the country that you're trying to bring some sort of relationship with or to build alliances with. So it actually goes back a very long way. In diplomatic terms, this is nothing new. It has always happened, and it will always happen in the future as well.
So what gifts are usually given and to whom?
Right. Gifts actually are given out at every level. So of course, people tend to concentrate gifts given by the head of government, head of state to each other. Normally, the gifts is divided into two parts. One is gifts are given as part of the official state function. So, for example, if Malaysia hosts a state visit by the Emperor of Japan or the Malaysian King goes to Japan, there's a special set of gifts that they usually give. Those gifts are usually classified as state gifts, so they usually end up in some sort of museum in the country that you give the gifts to. And those gifts usually reflect something special about your own country. So, for example, when Malaysia, the King of Malaysia, when he visits another country, I'm sure he brings something like a Malay fish or something and to give to a foreign person. And that thing will usually end up in a museum.
How much meaning and symbolism is usually placed in the gift itself?
It's not so much a symbol other than the state visit. It's very much a part of a tradition and practice. Like I said, it goes a very, very long way. So I think when we talk about giving gifts, it is part and parcel of the way that people conduct relationship between countries.
And do all countries have this practice? Is it something that everybody does, or are there people who abstain? Are there people who choose to perhaps be a little bit more circumspect about the kinds of gifts they give?
No, different countries have different rules. So by and large, every country do buy gifts when especially when state visit. The rules that we have in place are usually for highly developed countries like the UK and America, and those rules consist mainly of financial stuff. So, for example, I know that in the UK, the gifts have to be registered and they can't be of a certain or above a certain value. So, for example, all gifts given to the Secretary of State in America or the President of America, they have to be locked into a system and they all consider gifts, even if it's given to the President of America, they're regarded as gifts to the country rather than the individual person. If the individual president or whoever is given to wants to keep the gift, supposedly they have to pay the actual market value of the gift before they can take it up and form part of their private collection.
And are there any laws or guidelines that sort of dictate how much can be spent on a gift?
Yes, as I mentioned, for the developed countries like Australia, UK, America, they have guidelines on how much you can spend. So probably ambassador can spend up to a certain amount, a minister can spend up to a certain amount. But for countries like Malaysia, there are no strict guidelines. It's really up to the person approving the purchase to decide what amount they want to spend.
How transparent are we with our gift-giving practices?
Sorry?
How transparent are we with our gift-giving, diplomatic gift-giving?
Malaysia, in Malaysia, there's no transparency. So all gifts given to the ministers and the prime minister, they're not locked in an official form that you and I can access. So, for example, the gifts given to the American president at the end of every year, they have to publish a list. And you can actually get a list on the internet. In Malaysia, it is not listed. So in Malaysia, I think the practice is sort of informal. It is locked into some sort of a lock mode. But for minor items, I think the individual ministers and the individual senior officials are allowed to keep.
So considering the difficulties with that, right? I mean, obviously, even just hearing that, you can tell that there are grey areas, there are potential problems and pitfalls. How do you then toe the line between gift-giving and bribery?
No. There is a clear line. Gift-giving is usually at an official function. When these people visit each other, right, it's always in groups.
Sure.
So you don't have to worry about the bribery thing. If a Malaysian minister visits a counterpart in Japan or Korea or whatever, they give, buffet or something expensive from Malaysia, Malay treats or something traditional, or even Tong Kahali. if they give to the minister, it'll be done in a good situation. There probably will be a photograph of the exchange of gifts as well. I don't think you'll worry about the bribery thing. I think the thing that you have to worry about is when you got certain purchases which may sound way out of kilter. For example, the recent reports about the prime minister asking the wife to sell a gift that turned out to be worth more than $1 million. I think those are the sort of things you have to worry about. The reason is because that's quite unusual, and to get the wife to sell it again. Secondly, it is quite clear that in this case, there may be some personal interest involved as well.
And do you think that the tradition of diplomatic gift-giving still has a relevance in 2020?
Yes, of course. We're talking about human relationships. So I think, even if you visit your friends overseas, you haven't seen for a long time, it's always nice to meet up and they give you a small gift. So for example, even at a personal level, I'm sure you have lots of Japanese friends. When they visit you, even for an informal visit, they always give you a very small gift. So like I said, it's very common in many cultures. It's not unique. I think the trick to this whole issue or the whole controversy is all about transparency. You need to create a list of all the things that are given to you or you give up, and you need to list how much the items cost. I think it's all about transparency more than the actual practice itself.
Absolutely. James, thank you so much for weighing in.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
That was Professor James Chin, Director of the Asia Institute at the University of Tasmania. And, I was just thinking about the fact that in the early days of this new government, there were all these talks about how to raise money, right?
Yeah.
About how to kind of raise money for debt, to get rid, or not get rid, but at least put a dent in our national debt. And I'm thinking, honestly, do you need all the gifts you get? I think if you auctioned off certain things, if you had list and you could actually say, like, look, on this list, I do not need this mother of pearl portrait of my face or something. And you could say that and then get that auctioned off. I think that would actually have been one way of going about things. And I think that that's kind of memorabilia that people might be interested in.
Oh, especially internationally, we always hear like, John Lennon's whatever is sold for millions and millions of dollars. And then you find, well, there are actually people who want to collect this.
For sure. And again, I think with one, I'm just thinking about how most of our houses are probably cluttered with lots and lots of things. And more so when you are a person in a position where people just give you things all the time. It's like Marie Kondo, that thing, auction some stuff off. It makes sense. But yeah, we are going to be talking in more detail about this. What are your thoughts on the practice of gift giving? Would you like to see that list of gifts that our politicians give and receive? And if you could make the choice, if you were the buyer, what would you get as a diplomatic gift for foreign dignitaries and leaders? Call us at 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.